Now please turn in your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. 2 Peter 2, 1 through 3. 2 Peter was written by the Apostle Peter to Christians who were not only dealing with intense suffering, but who were also dealing with false teachers who were twisting Scripture and leading people away from God and the truth of God. See, if you can't get them through trials and through adversities, then distort the truth so that people slowly become weak and watered down and compromised in both belief and in life. And these Christians that Peter was writing to were really, truly dealing with it. Last time, Peter began to deal with the false teachers by pointing people back to the authority of the Scriptures. And tonight, Peter begins to attack and expose these false teachers. And it applies greatly to us today. This is what we are dealing with. Chapter 2, verse 1. Let's go ahead and read that. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. So it's coming. It's coming. Here, starting out in verse 1, we see the fact, which is this, that the false teachers are among us. In the previous passage, Peter was talking about the true prophets of God who spoke and wrote the Old Testament Scriptures. They were special men who were divinely inspired of God, and they proclaimed the truth boldly when it wasn't popular to do so. But then mixed in with the true prophets of God were false prophets who preached lies. And the problem was that many of the true prophets of God were killed for speaking the truth of God, while the false prophets were exalted because they gave people what they wanted to hear. Jeremiah 5:31 expresses it well when he said, "The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests rule on their own authority, and," what? "My people love it so." All the while, Jeremiah, the true prophet of God, was persecuted and made an outcast for preaching the truth to the rebellious people. And just as there were false prophets in the past who were mixed in with the true prophets of God, so too was it true in Peter's day, as well as it is true today. There are and there will be false teachers among us. And don't we know it? Don't we know it? Satan is very good at what he does. And again, don't we know it? He loves to mix air with the truth. He loves to mix sin with purity. And so when the truth is being preached and taught, Satan always counteracts that by twisting the truth around with lies that sound good but are deadly at the same time. He did this with Eve in the garden. Has God really said? And it continues to do it today because it works so very well. And so he raises up false prophets, his false teachers, to infiltrate the church. And please note that they are within the church. Gordon MacDonald said it like this: these false teachers take their place inside the church. They pose as ministers of the gospel. This is what makes the peril so great. If they came right out and said they were atheists or agnostics, people would be on guard. But they are masters of deception. They carry the Bible. They use orthodox expressions, though using them to mean something entirely different. So this is what's going on. This is what's gone on in the past. It's what's going on in the day that Peter is writing to, and to the people that Peter is writing to. It's going on today. And they're sneaky. They're sometimes hard to figure out who and what they are. They're counterfeits who pose as a real thing. And if you're not careful, you're going to be captured by their snare of lies. Daniel Defoe said, "Whenever God erects a house of prayer, the devil always builds a chapel there." And so whenever the true work of God is found, it's not long before satanic counterfeits begin to infiltrate. Now look, throughout history, God has been under attack, right? God is not one God who eternally exists in three distinct persons, even though the Bible is very clear about that. God isn't sovereign, they say. He doesn't know really what He's doing. God is whatever we want Him to be, they say. And throughout history, Jesus has been under attack. Jesus isn't God the Son, the second person of the Trinity. No, He was a created being, they say. He didn't do miracles. He was a brother of Satan, they say. Jesus didn't really rise from the dead, they say. Jesus is just another prophet and not our Lord and Savior. And throughout history, the Bible has been under attack. They say the Bible isn't divinely inspired, perfect in its original documents. The Bible is just the words of men. The Bible is whatever we want it to be, they say. The Bible isn't true and really reliable. The Bible is full of errors, they say. And throughout history, the way you're saved has been under attack. They say we are saved by works, not by grace through faith in Christ alone. We're saved by being sincere. Everyone is saved no matter what you believe, they say. All roads lead to heaven. There is no real hell. It's not about what God says. It's about what I think, they say. And again, Satan is very good at what he does. And he's good at planting himself and his people among the people of God and lulling them away from the truth and into error. False teachers were among those in the Old Testament times. They were among those in the New Testament times. And they're among us today. So please, beware. What you see on TBN, much of it's full of lies. Beware. Be careful. Be on guard. What do they teach? What's their strategy? First, they bring destructive heresies. What's a heresy? Heresy is a very interesting word because it literally means to choose or to select. That's not bad in and of itself, but this word soon came to be used to refer to a human opinion or choice as a substitute for the truth of God. So a heresy then is a human opinion that puts itself ahead of God's truth found in His holy word. It's a choice based on man's feelings that leads people away from the light of God and the Word of God and into the darkness of the wicked one. You see, a false teacher, a heretic, he forces you to make a choice between his doctrine and the doctrines of the true Christian faith. And these heretics bring in their own self-chosen teachers that oppose the truth of God. And note that anything that does that is destructive, right? Amen. The word destructive is used 5 times in this letter, and it's always referring to final, eternal destruction. So the heresies in the church of Peter's day and today, they aren't just bad teachers, but they're wicked teachers. And they're designed to take people and lead them away from the Lord and into eternal destruction. And it's a great ploy. Here's a picture. These heretics sneak into a church looking like true teachers of God. They introduce their man-centered and man-made opinions. They tickle the ears of the hearers, but they're not of God. And they snatch up the unsaved and draw them away from the truth of God and into their lies. Note that they probably do many of the Christian people as well, but they can only bring destruction to the ones in the church who aren't true Christians. And they're very wicked. They're very wicked. No, these heretics secretly bring in their teachings. So they're among you, and they're secretive. Is that scary or what? They have this secret plan. Paul Apple said it like this. They come in secretly with a hidden agenda. They smile and sign your doctrinal statement and profess to agree with you. Then they have opportunity to teach. Then they start to sneak in their false doctrine in subtle ways. And doesn't this show us that we always need to be on guard? We need to be so very careful. Doesn't it show us that we need to know our Bible so that we're not those who are led astray by these destructive opinions of men? The problem is that many who are led astray don't even know it. What a picture. They come in by stealth. They're like spies of the enemy. They sneak in and they secretly introduce error alongside the truth. And while majority of their message will be correct, a small percentage of doctrinal poison is enough to bring about this destruction. And that's what they do. They just bring in their error subtly. And it's interesting to note that most members of cult groups used to belong to the church, the Christian church. Beware. There have been many so-called heresies throughout history. So many of them. Heresies about God, about Christ, about the Word, about salvation. Here's a few of them throughout the ages. Adoptionism. That God granted Jesus powers and then adopted Him as a son. That is a heresy. Apollinarianism. Jesus' divine will overshadowed and replaced the human will. That's a heresy. Arianism. Jesus was a lesser created being. That's a heresy. Gnosticism, dualism, modalism, monarchism, Nestorianism, Patripassianism, the belief that the Father suffered on the cross. That's a heresy. Pelagianism, Socinianism, Tritheism. You getting the point? These are all heresies throughout the ages, and there's tons of them. I left out many because I couldn't pronounce them. But there's many heresies. But the great heresy has always been the one that was here, that was going on in Galatia, that we're saved by works, or by both grace and works, and not by God's grace alone. I mean, it's all around us today. If I'm good, then I'll go to heaven. What a lie of the devil. Good works can't save anyone, never has, never will. We're saved by God's grace through repentant faith in Christ alone because of what He did on the cross, and works only come after to prove who and whose we are never, ever, ever, ever before. And praying seven times a day isn't going to get you into heaven. Being baptized won't get you into heaven. Giving money won't get you in. Going to church won't get you in. Not that prayer and being baptized and giving and going to church aren't important, but they aren't what save you. Jesus Christ alone saves you. But most of the destructive heresies throughout the ages have put the cart before the horse and have said that we're saved by works, by what we do, by our own good deeds. What lies? His work saves us. His righteousness, not ours. But once again, Satan is a great deceiver, and he uses wily preachers to spin his false heresy to lead people into his wicked lies. Be on guard. Test the words that any preacher tells you. And make sure that you don't follow the sad opinions of any man. Second, look, they deny the Lord. Even denying the Lord who bought them. Deny means to reject, to renounce, to say no to, and to refuse. So these people that Peter is talking about aren't deceived individuals who mean well and have just been taught poorly. Rather, they're purposefully working their lies into the church. They're wicked and they sneak in and spread their lies for some kind of sinful gain. You know what they do? They preach lies, yes, but they also aren't living it out themselves. They themselves refuse to submit their lives to the rule of Christ. Jesus is Lord. He is Master. He has a dominion in the Christian's life. Yes, but these false teachers deny Him as Lord and Master in their own lives. Talk about heresy. Saved by works is a biggie, but this one is too. To say no to the sovereign lordship of Christ. Even when you take everything out and just have this denial, it alone is a terrible heresy and lie of the wicked one. Why? Because you can name Christ and claim Christ and serve in His name and preach His name and cast out demons in His name and do many wonderful works in His name, but say no to His lordship. That's a heretic. Look, the false teachers often say your own good works save you. But then when it really comes down to it, they refuse to live for the Lord themselves. Works don't save you, of course. Those are lies. But they won't even do the work themselves. They're just messed up all around. So they first got it wrong doctrinally, destructive heresy, but they also got it wrong ethically, right? They're denying the Lord, the lordship of Christ, that Jesus is the one that we serve, that Jesus is the only one that they honor as Lord and Master, as their King, which is clearly biblical. So they talked it up, but they didn't live it out. Might that be a problem in today's society? Jesus saves me, but it doesn't matter how I live. Jesus saves me, but it doesn't matter that I honor Him as Lord and Master because I love Him so very much. Now, Jesus saves me and I live whatever old way I want to live. Sounds good. It's a lie. It's a lie. They talked it up, but they didn't live it out. How many preachers have led great big churches only to find out that they're great big hypocrites? So while doctrine is important, so is your life. In the early church, this was a problem, see? One of the heresies of the day was that you could be saved, but that it didn't matter at all how you lived. It's called docetism, where all that matters was what you believed, but how you lived out in your flesh didn't mean a thing. In fact, go ahead, they said, and live it up. Sin all you want. Indulge every known sin, and it's all good. It's crazy, right? Yet the same thing is being taught today in churches all around us. All they have to do is throw out the rules for proper interpretation of the Bible, and then you simply make it say whatever you want it to say. So, now, no sin is wrong, hell isn't real, all people go to heaven, and living for the glory of God is optional, and it's being taught all over the place. How many are out there today who name Christ, but who don't look like Him in any way? How many want all the benefits, but not any of the toil and struggle and trials that come from seeking to honor the Lord and be well-pleasing to Him because you love Him? Because love compels you to live for His glory. By the way, they're missing the real blessing, aren't they? Because there's no greater joy than honoring God when it's hard to do so. 2 Timothy 4:3 talks about the time when people will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they'll heap up for themselves teachers who will give them exactly what they want to hear rather than the truth of God. They will then turn from the truth and turn aside to fables. And that's what's going on today. And this belief, as the belief goes, so goes your lifestyle. And so everyone is a Christian and everyone is going to heaven. But how many are really living like children of God who are seeking to please and honor Him with their lives? Isn't that what children of God seek to do? Right? Love God, love others. We got to live it out. And again, we're not saved by works, but now that we're saved, we love Him, and it shows in our lives, of course. Note that phrase, who bought them. It's very interesting. They deny the Lord who bought them. What does that mean? In what ways did Christ buy these false teachers who weren't saved? It's very clear that they're not saved, see? The picture is of a master of a house who bought the slaves and who owned them. Now, biblically, if you've been bought by the Lord, if you've been redeemed, then you're saved, right? I mean, Jesus doesn't buy people from the slave shop of sin and Satan to not save them. So in what sense are these unsaved false teachers bought by the Lord? Well, I believe there's only one way that we can look at this and remain true to the rest of Scriptures as well. And that is this, that Peter is simply taking these false teachers' claims at face value. And he's attesting to the absurdity of claiming that Christ has bought me, saved me, delivered me, redeemed me, and bore all my sins on the cross, and then refusing to live for His glory, refusing to surrender Him as Lord and Master. That's absolutely absurd. So, taking them at face value, Peter says, really? You guys say that Christ bought you, that you're saved, and yet you're not even living it out at all. You guys are a mockery. Because you can't really be bought and then go out and preach and live the way that you're doing. And that's why Peter makes it clear that these guys aren't saved, that they are doomed to swift destruction. If God had truly bought them, then they will live like you belong to Him. So Peter is just calling these false teachers out on their hypocrisy. He's calling them out on their lies, since they were doing exactly the opposite of what a true Christian is called to do. See, true Christians gladly affirm that they are bought. Satan owned us, but Jesus has redeemed us. Bought us back with His blood, with His very life. We gladly affirm, right, that God owns us. And now we are under His sovereign lordship. We are His slaves. We are His servants. And we lovingly get to obey Him. The false teachers denied all of that. And so Peter is calling them out for what they truly were. Unsaved heretics who were doomed for destruction. And when you claim Jesus as your Savior, you also must claim Him as your Lord, as your Master. And if we really understand what He's done for us, who wouldn't gladly submit to Him and seek to honor Him with their lives? Anybody? Right? Come on. Third look. They use deceptive words. Verse 3, by covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. They will exploit you. That's very interesting because the word exploit means to merchandise or to trade. It means to do business that involves either buying and or selling. In other words, it's all business to them and it's not ministry. Why? They're covetous. Covetous means to be greedy for more, more possessions, more money, more power, more pleasure, more for me. So covetousness is the spirit in which a man is always ready to sacrifice his neighbor to his own desire. We see this when we turn on the TV, do we not? The TV evangelist who's always begging people for money, manipulating gullible women to give so that they can get a fake blessing. Sorry, women, I'm not picking on you. My grandma got manipulated in this way. Twisting scripture so people will give them more money so that in return God will give you that promotion. I heard a talk just the other day. I recently heard one TV preacher who was bragging about how rich he was and about his new jet that he just bought. Many people know the formula as to how to get very rich as a preacher. You preach a watered-down health, wealth gospel that if you're true and a good Christian, then you'll always be healthy and you'll always be rich. And then the key, that giving a lot of money is a key that unlocks the true blessings of God, but you can't give anywhere else but to my ministry. So you send in that check and you buy a blessing. Give to us and soon you're going to get that promotion, that house, that car, that dream home that you've always wanted. Just make sure that you give to our ministry and a lot. In fact, we can take your pledge over the phone, and even better, we now accept credit cards. Come on. We could be raking in the money here, right? Now, for others, it's power. For others, it's sex. How many famous preachers have we heard about who have been caught in wretched scandals? But false teachers who tell lies and who live lies are driven to do what they do because they're covetous for more. Others, it's just power. So they go into the business. That should offend us, right? They go into the business of preaching for their own sinful gain. How wretched is that? This is not a business. You know that one Bible translation company is owned by non-Christians? So they translate the Bible, God's holy word, and it's all strictly business. How many churches look more like businesses than the church, and how many false teachers are there who see their ministry as a business rather than the work of God? Way too many. What do? They exploit people with deceptive words. You know what's interesting? This word for deceptive is the Greek word plastos, from which we get our English word plastic. The word means to form, to fashion, to mold a soft substance. So they mold their words to fit with whatever people want to hear so that they will be liked. And they mold their words to get whatever will get them furthest in their business. They're plastic men. Plastic got that name because it's fake. One preacher says, plastic is fake. It's not real. It's not real wood. It's plastic. It's not real china. It's plastic. It's not real gold. It's plastic. He says, nobody ever makes plastic look like plastic. It has to look like what it isn't. So it's fabricated, it's fake, and it's molded to deceive. And so many are deceived by the plastic preachers that are out there. Satan is a deceiver, and so he has men who will deceive through smooth-sounding lies. Beware. And while we can feel confident that we ourselves aren't being subtly led astray by some false, greedy teacher, at the very least, we can be more aware of what's going on out there, and it's everywhere out there. And we can be on guard for our many friends and loved ones who are more susceptible to these heretics than we are, because it's abundant. The solution, you got to know the truth, right? Read, study, and eat up the Word of God, and then earnestly live out that Word in your own life. Now, there are two results for these false teachers. First is swift destruction. It shows how serious what they're doing is. Swift destruction that they bring onto themselves, the end of verse 1, as well as the end of verse 3 that says, for a long time their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. So these guys, these plastic men, these liars are in big trouble. See, if you use God for your own personal gain, and if you lead people away from the Lord by your lies and your heresies, you're in big, major trouble. And just as judgment comes to all who reject Christ as Lord and Savior in this life, so too will judgment come to these false teachers who claim Christ, but who don't really live for Him. They talk it, but God knows the heart, and that's the issue. You can say it all you want, but God knows the truth about all of us, right? And even if you're a teacher of the Word, a preacher of the Word, if you're all that and still a heretic who is driven by greed and self, like Peter mentions here, impending destruction will indeed be your reality, no matter what you say about things. That's scary, isn't it? This is talking about preachers. Preachers today as well. There are preachers out there who aren't even saved. They were in Peter's day, and I have no doubt there are many who fit this mold today. So no matter what you say, no matter what you do, if you haven't truly surrendered to the Lord and repent in faith for forgiveness and life, then all your talk and all your work and all your words mean nothing. And Peter exposes these liars. Peter mentions destruction twice along with judgment, and how clear is that? That these guys are going to stand before God at the judgment, and they'll be guilty as charged, and therefore they will have to pay the eternal price for their sin because they rejected Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives, even though they were doing the work of God. Their true hearts and lives will be exposed for what they truly were. And that's true for all of us. God knows your heart. You're not fooling God. Better be real instead of plastic. Note that destruction isn't slumbering or dozing off. In other words, everyone will pay up. And the question is, are you ready? Jesus Christ is our only hope of rescue. The second sad result regarding these false teachers is that there are many who follow their lies. Verse 2, and many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. Isn't that a horrible thought? These false teachers are going to mislead many people. They attract people. They are popular. They have followers. And many will follow them down their road to sin and hell. And that's why we need to warn our friends. And that's why we need to warn our loved ones. That's why we need to be bright lights in this dark world. That's why we need to know our Bibles. That's why we need to be people of prayer. And that's why we need to live it out when others don't. Because the hope is that God can use us to bring people who have been deceived back to the truth. But it's quite a battle. Why? Look, destructive ways in verse 2 speaks of sensuality, of immorality, and of lust. And it says that these false teachers not only are driven by their sensuality, but they also lead others into it as well. Why? Because with them, you can have Jesus in your sin at the same time. With them, you can have heaven and your lust at the same time. You can live any old way that you want and have a get free to heaven card as well with them. That's exactly what the world wants to hear. Right? Just be a part of my ministry and give to this ministry and come to my church and make it look really big and prosperous and you're in. Doesn't matter how you live. That's why we're called to be different, right? That's why we're called to be biblical. That's why we're called to live what we claim, to practice what we preach. See, the unsaved world around us looks at Christians today and sees a bunch of talkers, a bunch of fakers, a bunch of hypocrites. And the way the truth is blasphemed, mocked, made fun of, laughed at, and teased because so many have claimed to represent Christ, but they don't live it out, and so they put a stain on the way of truth. Why would I want to be a Christian if they act like that? Why would I want to be a follower of God whose followers are a wishy-washy group of compromisers without any conviction in their own lives? Why would I want to follow that? And the prayer is that this won't be the case with us here. Rather, let's live it out loud, you know? Let's spread the good aroma of Christ to those around us. Let's adorn the gospel well with good deeds, godly actions, and Christ-like behavior. Let's show the world what the Lord is all about because we're living for Him with our lives. And false teachers and people who follow their wicked lies are everywhere in Peter's day and today. And our call in the midst of all this is to stand up and to show the world with our words and with our deeds what the real truth is all about, right? So we speak the truth and we live the truth. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Matthew 5:16. Prove yourselves blameless and innocent children of God above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you appear as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life. Philippians 2:15. And so, while the false teachers are spreading their lies, we're going to be people who are spreading the truth boldly and loudly for the glory of God. Who knows how God will use us to impact this world with His wonderful soul-saving truth when we're giving it out in spirit and in truth, filled with love for those around us. May He use us mightily in these trying times. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You so much for Your wonderful word of truth. Thank You, Lord, that we know the truth, that we aren't being deceived. And Lord, at the same time, we have this great burden for those who are. There's so many popular churches around this nation that are being deceived. And Lord, help us to be a beacon. Help us to stand up and to stand out and to be a bright light in this dark place. And I pray that people who are being led astray, Lord, that You would open up their eyes and that You would use us to help bring them back to the truth. Lord, convict our hearts. Help us not to be plastic people. Help us, Lord, to know the truth, to preach the truth, and, oh Lord, to live it out for Your glory, because love compels us. Speak to our hearts now. We love You and thank You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.